she may be weary. Them young girls, they do get wearied wearing that same old shaggy dress, yeah, yeah. But when she gets weary, try a little tenderness, yeah. You know she's waiting, just anticipating for things that she'll never, 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 never possess. Yeah, yeah. But while she's there waiting, and without them, try a little tenderness. That's all you gotta do. It's not just sentimental, no, no, no. She has her grief and care. Soft words, they all spoke so gentle, yeah. It makes it easier, easier to bear, yeah. You won't regret it, no, no. Young girls, they don't forget it. Love is their home, happy.
Stressing out, can't think, same thing, just a different day. Long days, even longer nights. Why is life trying to pick a fight? Heartache, heartbreak. I'm too tired just from trying to catch a break. When knocked off your feet and you've hit the ground, just let it all go, girl, I can show you how.
Gotta recognize when you're not feeling okay. Ay, ooh. Gotta put back what's taken from you every day. Ay, ooh. Gotta own it from a life all negativity. Ay, ooh. Don't let the troubles and the struggles get in your way.
Easy come, easy go. What's the point of even trying anymore? Emotional, hopeless. Spending each and every night restless. Issues and tears ain't tissues. You're worth too much to be misused. When you feel like the world is
ending. Just use this sweet and simple remedy.
Gotta recognize when you're not feeling okay. Ay, ooh. Gotta put back what's taken from you every day. Ay, ooh. Gotta omit from life all negativity. Ay, ooh. Don't let the troubles and the struggles get in your way.
Should I feel with my soul trapped? Gone. Pitfall in the woods, pitiful, misunderstood.
Yeah.
Typical when bad meets good.
Yeah.
Not thinking the way I should.
Yeah, yeah,
hurting
yeah.
the ones around me.
Yeah.
They would all be better without me. Where would I be without the unfortunate events that happened to inspire yeah. me? I cling to this music like a crutch.
Yeah.
So I'm
yeah.
so glad that y'all found
so
me.
Glad.
Help me out real quick.
Well, if you face a tough predicament, try to remember this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nothing's ever a coincidence. It'll change who you are in the end.
So look in the mirror and stare at that face. Don't look away, the autopilot disengages.
Say, Lord, teach me how to love and how to be patient. Help me not be spiritually complacent or anxious. If you can't control it, let it go.
If you love someone, let them know.
And if you're strong and you know it, let it show.
Let it show.
And people change, so let them grow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So take my hand, let's go. Walking away from my old ways. Ain't looking back no more. No, ain't looking
the
back.
The alert
no
level
more.
In your region. The alert level in your region or a neighboring region is red. To curb the spread of COVID-19, gatherings with family and friends in private homes and yards are prohibited. Travel between regions should be avoided. It is forbidden to leave your home between 9:30 p.m. and 5 a.m. Visit quebec.ca/coronavirus to learn more about other measures in place to fight COVID-19. Follow all the rules, all the time, no exceptions. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Blessing Risings, beautiful people. Welcome to the Empower Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and available on Facebook Live. For the next 2 hours, the squad's going to entertain, enlighten, and empower y'all. My name is Miss Trish, and this morning, as always, I'm joined by my partners in light, Queen Kaya, Gina the Great, and King Pharaoh. But before we do anything else, like every other show, I'm going to pass the mic to our Chief Enlightening Officer, Pharaoh, in order to bless the show and everyone watching on Facebook Live and listening. Pharaoh, the floor is yours.
Blessed Melanated Rising, everybody. I hope everybody's having an awesome start of their day. I am so grateful to life. I'm grateful to God, our Creator. I'm grateful to the ancestors for making it possible for us to be able to be here this morning. And I just ask that today's show, let it be very educational for those who are here and listening and taking part. Let it be very inspiring. And most importantly, let it be empowering. And just keep everybody in that spirit of peace, love, and harmony, and keep everybody safe where they are. Hotep, amen, ashe.
Ashe, ashe. Happy April ashe. 1st, guys.
Nice.
Happy April 1st. Good morning.
Happy April 1st. Good morning. How's everybody's week? How's it been for everyone? Gina?
My week's been filled, but first and foremost, I want to say rest in powers to my grandmother who passed away 20 years ago of Parkinson's. So this is her 20-year anniversary of ascending.
Mm-hmm.
I spent the week with my family last week.
Great.
Went to the GTA and spent some time with the little ones. I could promise you that was probably one of the fastest weeks I've ever spent in some time.
Time always flies when you're having fun. So that's what they
Yeah, say. And taking true. Care of kids. Because I have two nieces and a nephew. And I got one of them nieces who's 5 going on 30.
Okay, right.
And she will drain all your energy.
Oh, yeah.
All of
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
And
about
I
it.
Mean, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's my brother's daughter. And I'm just like, uh-huh.
Okay.
I see it.
Okay.
I see it.
Okay.
But it was all fun. It was all great. Nice. I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
And they stuck to me like Velcro, so I love that too.
That's good.
And I've been working on it for some time, but it's time for some new ink.
Ooh. Ooh. How many tattoos you got, G? Let the people know.
A lot.
Give us a number.
I think I'm at 6. 1, 2, okay. 3, 4, definitely. 5, 6. 6, yeah. I'm at 6. Yeah.
Okay, I got 4. So I'm like, all right.
I have 10.
Nice.
Okay, so I guess my allot is average, apparently.
If yours is average, then what's mine?
Well, you're at 4.
I have 4. This one,
ten,
next exactly. Around, so 10.
I'm in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
4, 6. Kaya, you got any tattoos?
Kaya, how much you got?
Oh.
That I want to remove. So I don't even know if they count. They might not be here the next time. Because these are foolish tattoos. I don't know what I was thinking. I got one at 16 and one at 18. And my mama looked at me. She said, girl, what does that even mean?
What does that tattoo mean?
I'm going to say one and a possible, because one of these got to go.
Right.
Okay.
And I've always taken time. Actually, my first tattoo I got with Pharoah. Like, we all got it together.
Hey, yep. Yeah. That's dope. I like that.
At the house.
Well, so my tattoo artist retired years
Somebody
ago.
Somebody came to y'all house and did a tattoo?
Yeah, who we get down.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah,
I like that.
They gave us a True King special.
Okay.
And actually, 5 of us have a resembling tattoo with our crowns and such.
Dope.
The Fab Five in there.
Yeah. I love that.
But yeah, no, and I need somebody with like clean line works, because this is going to be one of them like detailed chandeliers type of situations.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if y'all got some tattoo artists that, you know, y'all know, because mine retired many moons ago. So I need a new tat artist.
Got it.
Yeah, you know, actually on the topic, because I always try to make it a point to have my tattoos mean something.
Right.
So it's like I have a lot of portraits. So that's you know, so I definitely got to give a shout out to Skinny. He was taking care of a lot of our tattoos, mm-hmm. and he had done a lot of our portraits. I hear Anam is who to check now. She's out in I think Il Perro or Pine Corps. So she's going to be the next.
Oh, completely out in the West?
Way West.
Oh, okay.
She's way West.
It's so funny we're on the topic, because my youngest daughter, Nzinga, just called me out, because like I have all my children on, except I didn't do Nzinga yet. So she's looking and she's like, okay, there's Huey, that's phenomenal. Where's me, Dad? I was like, oh, you're at that age now, eh?
Where's she at?
I told him too. I was like, yo, watch what your placement, because you're gonna run out of space too. You know.
Yeah, no. So I know.
So you definitely need to put her on there before you get clapped.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
Before you get clapped.
So I got to start. Just first, thank everybody who supported last week and who sent in some donations, who called in donations.
Nice.
It definitely, it's very much appreciated. I think we hit something like 30,000 as the show. CKT, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that's what I've seen. So big shout out to tout le monde. Merci beaucoup. It really means a lot. And just because the drive is done, that doesn't mean the donations need to stop.
Right.
If you're like, oh, shucks, I didn't get a chance, you could still do it.
Amen. All right.
You could still donate. We'll put up the link on the Empower Hour page where you could donate online. But definitely, you want to just continue to support, help us continue to do what we're doing for the community. So definitely, we're glad to be here for you. And we're very grateful that you were here for us. I had a pretty eventful week. But actually, the highlight of my week, I have to say, was, what day is it today? Today's Thursday. So mm-hmm. It was Sunday.
I mean, after Wednesday, Sunday? Thursday. Right. So it doesn't go Sunday, Thursday. Thank I don't you. Know. Unless the calendar changed.
Sorry. I know time is of no essence.
I know.
Wednesday, right. Tuesday, Sunday,
There's two things
Thursday.
Going on in my brain, okay? So I had two highlights. All right, two highlights. That's mm-hmm. what's happening. So first highlight was we had a men's meeting.
Beautiful. Needed.
Huge shout out to the brothers who put it together. I was super glad to be able to take part. And it's very needed, because we're addressing the topic of domestic violence and how as men we can do better.
Right.
And again, like, I commend all the brothers for coming out and for being accountable. Like, we need to be accountable to ourselves and our actions, and just like thinking out loud, being vulnerable, just letting people know like what we go through, as like speaking to each other and just sharing what we go through, and the ups and the downs. And it's a rough road, a long road, but at least we're having the conversation.
Amen.
And I think that's, again, like, that's what I feel like it's the most important right now, mm-hmm. is that we need to be having the conversation. We need to be like just bring it to the forefront, and like we can't just let it happen anymore. Like it's like as men, we have a responsibility to be there for our women, for our queens, our goddesses on the planet, and so you know, like we're all taking responsibility. And I guess like my one of the things that I shared is also just understanding that it's not like first we have to understand the root of what we're dealing with. Like right. there's a lot of things that were done by design, the division between men and women by design, the bringing down the black woman who is God. I say it all the time. Bringing her down because the fact that, you know, like basically the people who are in power right now had an agenda and they've been on their agenda. So it's just a divide and conquer kind of thing. Take, displace everything and flip the world upside down. That's what they've been on. So right now, not to throw any shade, but we have the white man as the most powerful thing on the planet, where it was the black woman. So it is time that we just put things back into context. And also, we just need to understand that when men, when we're looking out for our queens and our sisters, it's not a them and us thing. It's like basically by being there for our queens, we're being there for ourselves. Like we are one people, we are one being. Like we really should be fighting these fights as one people. And not separating it like, you know, it's them and us. Like that's, you know, that's we have to get past that. So that was, you know, so I found that was huge. Again, it's just the beginning. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we said is that it's just men getting together just to have these kind of conversations. Like we don't have these type of things anymore. Like we don't get together in Lime anymore. We don't just get together and shoot the shit. And one of the things that was really apparent is that we don't have outlets. Like when we're going through stresses as men, a lot of times we don't have anybody to really turn to. Mm-hmm. And like you need that. Like one of the brothers in the group, like was very transparent, and he says he is one of those outlets that when his men are going through all kind of different things, when his homeboys are going through all kind of different things, the men in his circle, they'll call him, and you know, and he'll talk them off the ledge. He'll tell them come over. He'll even interject and speak to their women and stuff at times, as well. But like these kind of outlets are necessary because. Right. Again, a lot of us unfortunately don't have a lot of role models. Like we didn't, you know, mm-hmm. like a lot of us grew up without fathers. A right. lot of us, you know, so it's like we're kind of just figuring it out, you know, as we're sure. as we're going about life. And you know, if we could lean on each other, who might have, you know, brothers who might have different experiences, it's super powerful, you know. So
that's what's up.
So that's what that was. And my other quick highlight was we had a great health lecture with Amasi.
That's good.
Big shout out to Amasi. Thank you for coming out and being and educating the community. For those who are interested, we did it in the OFC's Facebook group. We did live to there, so you could check it out if you missed it last week.
Great. Kaya, how was your week, love?
Well, my week was, it was a week.
It was a week. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. The change in weather just kind of had me like confused.
It's snowing this morning. You see that?
I, you know, last week I was, you know, outdoor swimming, and this week
you gotta love it.
Like literally swimming.
Yeah, literally. You don't follow Kai. Follow the time. Like,
no, I mean, it's not. I don't. I just don't really look at my phone like that during the day.
Be all in the pool. I'm like, where?
Go on, Kaya. Come to the pool. Yeah. Invite me to the pool. I want to come. Shoot.
I will. I absolutely will. We should actually do that. You know, as a day of R&R for each other. But
I'm after
doing that. And having a week like this, I'm kind of like, meh. So all week, my week has been like, meh. Mm. Everything that happened was like, oh, gosh, that now. Oh, God.
Right.
Because things are so much easier to handle when the weather is warm and things are.
Absolutely.
Those are facts.
Absolutely.
If you guys know me and those, you know, those listeners who continue to tune in since I came on the show to join these lovely people, you guys know that I have a fear of cold. And I'm allergic to cold.
Right.
So I'm struggling right now. I'm actually, you know, going through a little bit of a winter bluesy type week.
Okay.
So this week I started doing like pulling apart my house and stuff like that. So I feel it's safe to say that spring is really coming, and I feel hopeful for the week to come. But this week was.
It was that week.
It was a week.
To say the least. Mm-hmm. Tedious to say the least with the weather. So that's it for me, really. I'm like, meh.
I hear you. My week, well, started off fun on Saturday as I was racially profiled in a big box store.
Wow.
It was great. It was fantastic. But the thing is with me is, like, you guys know, like, I speak what I need to speak, but then I feel like there's different ways of handling things. So I'll just tell you guys briefly what happened. I went to go buy a computer for my father, and I was waiting for an email money transfer from my brother, okay? Mm-hmm. For some reason, it took forever to come. Anyways, and they took forever to get me the computer as well. So cool, whatever. But I had two Walmart bags. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the name of the store. I'm not doing that. Okay. But I was going to say I had two Walmart bags with a visible toaster inside, okay? Okay? And a few other Walmart items with the Walmart receipt on the top, because I knew where I was going and I knew what was going on. I just, you know, was cautious about it. So while I'm waiting for the computer and the email money transfer, I'm obviously walking around the store because I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what? Something's off. I look around. Every time I look in the aisle, this one employee's behind me. He's behind me. So I'm like, oh, okay, I know what's going on here. Let me just go to the front of the store and wait. So as I'm waiting now, this other person comes and he asks his colleague in French, are those bags hers? Did she pay for that stuff? Mm-hmm. Two things he said in French. And I said, this Walmart bags. I'm in your store, which shall remain nameless. I'll tell you guys off the air. Y'all don't sell toasters up in here. Since when does your store and panties? Since when does your store sell panties and toasters? So he comes up to the bag and he looks at it. He's like, "Oh, I was just wondering if you paid for those." Mm-hmm. I said to him, "Since when you guys sell toasters and panties?"
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
"Oh, no, sorry, that's not what I meant." I said, "That's exactly what he meant."
Yeah.
"Because your employee was following me and now you're asking me this question. It's two different people." So I was like, "You know what? I got to talk to the manager about this." I really do. So I ended up getting the manager.
Good.
And I told the manager, I said, "Listen, your employees, they're closet racist." Literally. I said, "They're closet racist. It's not. I'm not comfortable as a black woman in your store to be followed by," I named the employee. Mm-hmm. His name was, I'll just say John, but that's not really what his name was. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not comfortable being followed by John. He's like, no, I'm sorry, miss. Check the manager. I never had this conversation before. I said, well, now it's time.
Right.
Because here's what. Right. Your employees could have George Floyd me, you know?
Mm.
He turned so red, like the color of our curtains. I know you guys can't see it as, you know, whatever.
It's like burgundy.
But he turned super burgundy and he was like, miss, I'm so sorry for that. Me, I'm heated at this point. So I just left. So for me, the lesson was, you know, there's ways to handle things, right? I told the manager I could have easily taken out my phone and said, your store is racist. Right. You are a big box store everywhere in Canada. This store is everywhere in Canada. And I could have just ripped up your reputation. I know sometimes everyone says, you know, hit them in the pockets, things like that. But sometimes I don't feel that's necessary. You know what I'm saying? In my eyes, I just felt like education. I educated them and I kept it moving. I got the computer. Everything was good. I left. You know what I'm saying? I think it's going to take somebody else probably to do that. Not me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not that kind of person.
Well, if you educate them and they take heed to that
and then they adjust. He did.
Then there's nothing to, there's no more that needs to
I'm sure to, the French you know. Guy that he, even because when I was talking to the manager, the one who asked me about the bags, he was there too and he was in such denial. No, miss, that's not what I meant. Of course it's what you meant. You came over here to look at the bags when you clearly seen that they were Walmart bags.
Yeah.
Well, that's really nice of you.
I know you would have did it differently. Yeah, and no, I know. Well, and you know
because,
what?
Because.
I know. And the thing is, I did a video about this just the other day. And some people said, you're good about that. I like the way you handle it. I would have done this. And I never knock anybody for handling things the way that they do. I'm me, you're you. You understand what
that.
I'm saying?
I
agree to disagree all the time. I treat people how I want to be treated. It's just a general fact in my life. You know what I'm saying? I don't need that kind of. No offense to anybody, but clout.
And also, I want
to. It has long term effects.
I want us to also say, like, if we're talking about this is how the store trained the employees, like follow black folk,
right?
Then yes, then we need to name the business and their. And
well,
their training
I wouldn't know that because I've never been in the training.
I understand. But like, I mean, there's certain things too. Like you know when you're in certain areas. I know that if I go to one grocery store in certain areas, or if I go to one store in certain areas. I get treated differently. So then I know it's not the brand situation. It's a location situation. It's the people in there that need the education. So we can't assume that it's the brand itself being racist and doing all these things.
Well,
unless it came from the manager and unless it came from the owner.
If it came from the owner. Exactly.
Then
he was more understanding. He talked to me more about it after and he was just like, I'm really sorry. I mean, I'm going to talk to him. He's going to be, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he said the regular stuff, you know what I mean? But I can tell that he was visibly shaken by mm-hmm. what I said, because it's not that I was talking loud. I was speaking facts. Mm-hmm. And that's what scares people most. You know what I'm saying? Not, I think he expected me to be aggressive because I'm a black woman and stuff like that, but I wasn't. I was speaking facts, sir. I could take down your story immediately. You don't know mm-hmm. me. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Yeah. I could so easily say.
And that is why you should have went off even more, because that's what you expected from me, because I'm a black woman, and that's what you should have gave them.
Those
and
things when have, doubt, that's the thing, Kaya. Those things have long-term, I know, but those things have long-term effects on people yeah. and on life. And I could tell you guys a story off the air because of whatever. I don't want to bring an old story back.
I'm not here to
back.
Prove you right.
But, yeah, you know I'm mean? Saying, but I'm just saying I know the long-term effects of that, and I won't do it for myself, period.
For me personally, it's just consequences to actions. And I just
I
feel
you.
At the stage that we're in right now, it's nice, but... And I don't want to say they're not giving us blies, but no one's giving us blies.
No one is.
Right?
Right.
And at the same time, it's the consequence of action. So it's like, even the fact you still bought the computer, like, I'd be like, you know what? Matter of fact, I'm not going to spend any money here.
It wasn't my money, but okay.
but the point is, you know what I mean? It's like consequence of action. So this $1,000 I'm about to spend here, I'm just going to go across the street and spend it there.
Right.
And just so you guys know, I'm that disgusted and be like, feel good that I don't share this, so at least 10,000 people don't spend their money here anymore. Right?
I could have easily did it. I could have easily.
You know, and I just feel that because they're going to say yes, 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 but tomorrow is
a
really
different day.
Change?
Exactly.
I don't really know. But once there's a consequence of action, then it's like, okay, you know what? Actually, last time that cost us $1,000. Bro, fix up.
Right. That's... Hit them in the pockets, which I completely understand. And like I said, I'm not against you for that. And, you know, probably somebody else will handle it that way. For me, like I said, I know a personal story of something similar happening earlier mm-hmm. before and the long-term effects of that. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Correct.
But my sister's the type where she'll let all that happen and be like, oh, okay, great. And then she'll turn around and be like, find the owner, find general manager, find CEO. Dear Mr. CEO.
Don't get me wrong.
This is what occurred.
Don't play I didn't do that. You know?
Exactly. Okay. But see, that's where I think that's the route I think we should take. And
don't
be like,
play
this
I didn't
is
do
what,
that.
This
of
is
course.
What and then you have the little CC that you put in that message
yeah.
saying like,
I
you
copied
know,
the store manager. I have his email.
Voila. And then you say, I expect to hear
Haven't responded
what,
yet.
What your plan of actions are.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're talking about education, and that's what we're talking about. That's going to make the change. You going off in the store, they're just going to be like, oh, that's just another.
That's another black
woman
aggressive, doing this again.
You did this
call the police. We're scared.
Yes.
You don't
and because it's private property.
Exactly.
Because then they call the police, and the police is going to come and say, you know what, they have the right
exactly.
to remove you from
and
the
I,
store.
And you know what? The thing is with me, too, I have to think a long term again. I have my mother and father to take care of. Had they called the police and arrest me, who the hell was going to come for me? Mm-hmm. At that
and
point,
it changes
you know,
the narrative.
There's certain things you have, like I mean, I know sometimes we wanna kick off and stuff, and we could, but you know, sometimes you gotta just think long term effects. How's that gonna affect me in the long term?
And that changes the narrative, because I always tell somebody, if somebody's gonna come at you yelling and screaming, and you turn around and yell and scream at them back, the people watching on the sidelines doesn't know who's in the wrong.
Right, exactly. So they're gonna point at me, obviously the aggressor. Like, and I'm educating them. You understand what I'm saying? So that was my Saturday. Everything else is cool. I'm just grateful to be alive. You understand what I'm saying? I'm grateful to be alive. And I'm grateful, honestly, that I handled it that way, because honestly, I was able to go home and hug my parents after. And that is important for me. Like, all them other shits, whatever. You understand? For me.
Right, not for a computer.
Not for
a
PC. But my dad is happy. You see what I'm saying? Like, honestly, let's
did
be real.
Did you still buy the PC for them?
I did buy the PC for them. It was not my money. But you know what? I thought about it like this. My father is happy. My parents are older. You know what I'm saying? They don't have, you know, they don't go outside a lot. There's not a lot to them. So if I can make them happy, I'll take the hit. I don't mind. It's my parents. You understand?
And if you don't plan some actions, there's a lot of other companies out there that we can go spend our money.
Well,
so
hey, listen.
Respond back
I ain't
to Trish.
I told them I ain't going back. I ain't going back there ever again. Oh, that's for sure. For nothing. I could have went there yesterday, but I said, no, I'm not going
that
back.
That really doesn't make any sense now that you spent your money with them, though. What you should have did was left out of there and because of the position that you have, you're in a position with a platform.
Right.
Soon as you felt that way, you should have turned on your camera. It doesn't mean that you have to be loud or aggressive in order to get your point across. So I hear what you're saying, like, oh, the angry black woman thing. But you could have did it very, very calm and shut them down in one swipe. But if people like you who have the platform don't stand up, and when you come to tell these stories, if you don't say, oh, I did it like this, and I was thinking about, you know, am I going to be able to get home? It was the same thing with the rallies. There was a lot of single mothers out there that was out there fighting and didn't know if they was getting home to their kids, but they was fighting for you and me.
Right.
So how do we say, oh, well, you know, and I got this going on, so, you know, and that's what's important to me, but that's not right. That's not fair. And you could have did it in a diplomatic way, but that set us back 10 steps. You cannot say that to my sister who has this platform that she could have been possibly stealing out your store. Mm-hmm. No way. Y'all are in trouble. And if you send me the name, I'm going to say the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? I'll send you the name. You can say it. I'm not saying it. You say it.
And they should have been known. And I have a radio show. I have a platform.
I told the guys, so you don't know who I am.
I'm going to shut y'all down. I'm going to tell y'all something. The headquarters would have been calling you this morning trying to have a conversation about you, about the way that they treated you in the store. But if you don't use your platform, sister, shame on you. That's what we're here for.
I hear you. I'm not mad at that.
That's it. Down. And call somebody so you can have backup. You don't know how to say the words? Call me. Yeah. I'm coming.
Kaya wants all that smoke.
Kaya wants
bring
all that.
That.
I will. Well, I next, now I know.
Kaya say you got to get ready if you stay ready.
Exactly.
And I got a team. I got a team of people. And I told y'all this before. So, and a bunch of white folks that stand behind me and say, tell me when to burn it down. Yeah. So I want y'all to understand this. We ain't alone out here. And there's some people that's willing to risk their necks for us so that we don't have to. Call me. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yo. So let's get right in. We have an awesome guest that's going to be joining us in about 15 minutes or so.
Cool.
So we could jump into our headlines. You know, I have the excerpt from our Queen Rebecca Harry's brother that I'd like to share this morning. Let me fade this down. Mm-hmm. Fade this up.
Love was what she gave everyone she's ever encountered.
I'm gonna bring it back.
Rebecca Love. That was her actual government name. Love was what she gave everyone she's ever encountered. A 29-year-old mother of one. Auntie to 13. Sister to 5. Daughter to 1. Loved by a million, but murdered by one. Rebecca Love. A story much too often heard. On March 20th, 2020, she was violently beaten by a man she gave all her love to. On March 23rd, 2021, she passed away from those injuries and became the seventh woman in 7 weeks to be murdered by a boyfriend or a husband. Rebecca Love Harry, Alyssa P. Agma, Marley Edouard, Nancy Roy, Myriam Deliaire, Sylvie Bisson, Nadai Jalikar. 7 women leaving 14 children orphaned by a mother due to domestic violence. 7 women who, in some way or another, the system has failed. 7 women who still had so much to give to the world. But 7 women who will now try to save this world by bringing light to this vast issue in today's society, domestic violence. No man should ever put their hands on a woman. We hear the stories, but we choose to close our eyes. And we think that it can never happen to me, it can never happen to my mother, it can never happen to my sister or my friend. We say things like, he was drinking, he was really mad, it was my fault, I deserved it, he won't do it again. Just examples of what we try to make ourselves believe. But we are wrong, and this needs to stop. Rebecca Love, our sister, our Rolly, our friend, our rock. She touched so many people's soul. Even if you didn't know her, you saw that she was the life of the party. She was the one with the big smile and perfect teeth. She was a gatherer, always dancing, always cracking jokes with her infectious smile, always singing like an angel, and trying to freestyle rap for those who knew her. We want to leave you with the message our mother said to everyone outside the hospital after Rebecca's death at 11:28. Treat each other better. Don't fight. Life is too short. And when you fight, think of Becky. Love each other. Be there for each other. Becky's mom. Now it's time for Rebecca to fly like an angel and watch over us. Not only to the last 7 women, but to all past victims of this heinous crime, your names will not go in vain. With love from the Harry Frenette family, God bless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just what's going on right now. This coming Saturday, we have the March Against Domestic Violence is going to be this Saturday at Cabot Square at 4:30 p.m. We're asking the community to come out en grand nombre. This is a united fight. Like, we do need to show up and show out. We do need to be present. We need to show that show the solidarity, and it's our responsibility as a community.
And whether you know it or not, I can damn well guarantee you know someone who's suffering from, you know, or absolutely, knew somebody who suffered from domestic violence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's yeah.
So next in the news, so racism, that's still going on.
Wait, I thought you said news.
Yeah, I thought the news is supposed to be something new. Something new.
Racism still going on.
All right.
Did you guys hear about the teacher?
Yeah, yeah.
The teacher couldn't contain his racism.
No, yeah, he was
It came bursting out of him. He's like,
oh my goodness.
Shoot.
He's like, I'm so tired of talking about this.
Wait. Did you read the article? Because he did not say anything racist.
All right.
Okay. Say it like it's supposed to be. It was an anti-racist talk
for Montreal
that was given.
Yeah.
And then one of the teachers had a profane outburst.
Yes.
It was not racist.
It was profane.
Sir. It was in response to the speaker saying that racism and slavery that black people went through is not comparable to the FLQ situation when, you know, you had the outrise of the separatists and stuff like that.
Right.
And that teacher felt in his hearts of hearts, I guess, that it's absolutely comparable. And so and so in him, he spewed out some French Canadian slurs.
Oh, okay.
Some curses.
Right.
And then, you know, like, it was cut and whatnot and what have you. So the speaker had said it's not that what he said was racist. It's the reaction to what it's how he reacted to what was said that has the underlining of that systemic racism. So I just want to clarify that.
That was very nice. All right, that was better said. So his racism didn't just burst out of his face like I said.
Well, it says he used incredibly vulgar and profane language in front of children attending a large online assembly was shocking and upsetting. So that's what they're 100%. Saying. Are you guys surprised? Because I'm not.
You know what I'm tired of seeing? The school board is investigating.
Investigating what?
I mean, things were. It was live. All this investigation, like,
what are we investigating?
I'm tired of the cookie cutter response to things.
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to figure out what, like, consequences to action. So what's really going to happen?
Nothing.
And I do have the clip. I was trying to pull it up. I do have the clip. If you guys are interested.
Play it. Why not?
You know, I love pulling up these clips.
Did not go quite as planned at St. Thomas High School in.
Oh, I love when I have the.
You may want to just.
Yeah, I was wondering when you were fading one in and one
okay.
out.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
I'd be forgetting about that, right?
Point Claire.
Okay, I got to reel it up. Good.
A history lesson on the use of the N-word did not go quite as planned at St. Thomas High School in Point Claire. It was part of a series of lectures being made this week at the Lester B. Pearson School Board as part of Anti-Racism Week. But Max, one of the teachers, took offense to what was being said.
He did, and as more than 100 students were watching in the online assembly, the teacher started berating the speaker and accosting him with profanities. The presentation is called Unpacking the N-Word, and it includes a series of slides depicting some words and images that have historically been used to demean black people. These include Uncle Tom's Cabin with the fictional slave who became synonymous with servility and self-hatred. Other images in the presentation include Uncle Ben's and Aunt Jemima, products that have used depictions of black people based on racial stereotypes. But it was when Newton brought up a book called White N-Word of America by Pierre Valier and said that he rejects the notion that oppression faced by French Canadians around the time of the FLQ is comparable to that faced by black people over time, including with slavery. That's what pushed the teacher over the edge.
He said, right? So it wasn't a racial slur that he said, but I will argue that a white man interrupting a black man after numerous requests from administration to stop during an anti-racism presentation, a year after a viral video of students in blackface went viral, is a form of, in my opinion, at the very least, unconscious bias. I don't know if he would have done this and treated a white man this way. Maybe he is just a general jerk. I don't know. but to not understand and respect the context of what people were seeing, the optics were just so bad.
Now, the teacher in question is not being named, but in a statement to CTV, the Lester B. Pearson School Board said the teacher's comments were, quote, inappropriate and disrespectful, and that the board is addressing the matter through appropriate channels, without saying what those might be. Mm. As for Omari Newton, he would be willing to have a supervised discussion with that teacher, but he also plans to continue talking to students about why systemic racism, in his opinion, needs to be called out for what it is, so that we can all get along better as a society. Mm. Caroline?
All right.
So, est-ce-tout-pure, is that that's what it was? That's what was blanked out?
I don't even know if that's what it was. That what was blanked out?
I read lips, and I saw est-ce-tout-pure. So, that's
sure.
That's pretty blatant. That's wild disrespect, especially for 100 children.
Wild.
Like, guys, we're okay with this? Like, I don't know.
Why are you asking rhetorical questions? Like, no, we're not okay with this.
Obviously, we're not okay with it.
Yeah, but then it's like, I don't know. Kaya, what are we doing? Like, I feel we're okay with this. If we're just going to continue to be disrespected like this, we must be okay with it.
Did they stop the meeting at that point, or did they just let him go? I didn't read the whole thing. I'm going to be transparent about that.
They didn't clarify that, at least not from what I read. But
Everything's very vague and ambiguous, so we don't know what.
No, because also they're withholding the name and whatnot, and I'm sure they're doing it to just not have, because you know those little mistakes people make in their careers, right? That they like to say.
We should protect this guy so he could go and get another job just in case, or so he's not faced with online racism from other people. I guess we should. Yeah, I understand. I guess
that's very Canadian of us.
Yeah, that's just what it is, right? That's just what it is. We're nice like that. So let's just go into a quick little musical break, and then let's dive into our next guest. It's gonna be pretty awesome. Oh, so this musical break, I have to give you guys a quick heads up. Parental guidance, parental advisory.
Sure.
It's not super blatant, but it's a. You know, there's some cuss words in the track. I'm just telling you guys right now.
Which one are you talking about?
Went to Ghana.
Oh, yes. It's a nice song, though. I like the song.
Big shout out, Zakiya Brown. Went to Ghana. Yeah.
Ghana. I'm so cool, I went to Africa. Back at school, they would laugh at us. Now it's cool to be black as fuck. Now it's cool to be from Africa, huh? Went to Ghana, now I'm acting up. Went to Ghana, now I'm acting up. It's so cool to be from Africa. It's so cool to be from Africa. I'm so cool, I went to Africa. Back at school, they would laugh at us. Tell the truth, it was cruel. Now it's too cool to be black as fuck. Now it's cool to be from Africa. Now it's cool to be from Africa. Went to Ghana, now I'm acting. Went to Ghana, now I'm acting up. Met the coolest youth with stamina. Eat the sweetest fruits, I'm matching up. Had some bomb cool, ate some food with some good stew, belly bus. Yeah. Kelly Welle, ate some red with some jollof, I eat up. Plantain made me cuckoo, so much good food, man, ate too much. Yam chips too added up, man, don't be mad at us. I took a plane from Canada, I can't complain, I landed, bruh. Soon as I landed, they handed up, all of that hate ain't adding up. I took my words and just backed it up, it's always been cool to be black as fuck. Went to Ghana, now I'm acting up. Went to Ghana, now I'm acting up. Went to Ghana, now I'm acting up. It's so cool to be from Africa. It's so cool to be from Africa. It's so cool to be from Africa, huh? Went to Ghana, now I'm acting up. Strongest backs, they manage enough. Too cool, they balance food with no hands. This ain't a bluff. Neck strong, they very tough. Made me just level up. It's always been cool to be black as fuck. It's always been cool to be black as fuck. Went to Ghana, now I'm acting up. The women intelligent. Beautiful, fit, and hella thick, yeah. Dripped in melanin. Sun kissed, it's evident, yeah. The men real gentlemen. So fine, so eloquent. Melanin dipped in elegance. Ghana is so heaven sent. Homer real medicine. Homer black excellence. Gain independence. By Ghana's first president. Kwame Nkrumah represents freedom with no hesitance. Justice and no settling.
Settling.
All of the riches from Africa. Met the coolest kids in Africa, boy. All of the wealth is in Africa.
Yeah.
Buy some land and sell all of your toys. I need to get out of Canada.
Yeah.
Create a business, now you're self-employed. Your money will stretch like it's algebra. This is the truth, man. This ain't a ploy.
Strongest backs, they manage enough. Too cool, they balance food with no hands. This ain't a bluff. Neck strong, they very tough. Made me just level up. It's always been cool to be black as fuck. Always been cool to be black as fuck.
Went to Ghana, now I'm acting up. Went to Ghana, now I'm acting up.
Went to Ghana, now I'm acting, huh? It's so cool to be from Africa. It's so cool to be from Africa. It's so cool to be from Africa, huh? Went to Ghana, now I'm acting, huh?
You know, they taught me words like Madase, Apauta, Zemi.
That my best friend, she a real bad b- got her own money. She don't need no n- on the dance floor. She had 2-3 drinks, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in.
That's my best friend, she a real bad b- drive her own car. She don't need no lift in a strip club. No, my girl gon' tip, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in.
Beep, beep, is that my bestie in a taxi? Fresh blowout, skin on town, she ready. Look good with a T at the end. I'm a hyper every time, now my mother friend.
She been down since the jellies and the bobos. Now me stepping out the G and Manolos. When we pull up to the scene, they be filled with jealousy. If a finicky, she gon' bring the energy.
I hit a phone with a T like, guess what? All the rich ass boys wanna on us. I just end up, you could look, don't touch.
And I'm back busting bands every time we link up.
That my best friend, she a real bad b- got her own money. On the dance floor, she had 2-3 drinks, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in.
That's my best friend, she a real bad drive her own car. She don't need no lift in a strip club. No, my girl gon' tip, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in.
That's my best friend, if you need a freak, I ain't dumb but motherfucker, she my Tweedledee. If she ride for me, she don't need a key. If you sideways, she straighten you with me to be. And she's so bad that I just can't take that b- nowhere. She off her fish, I said, mm-mm, don't go there. Break her back, she protect and attack. Get that strap, let them buckle, foot on neck, give no air. Whole world wanna be us. Then my main, b- she my day one. On my way, b- let you get drunk and celebrate. Cause we the baddest in the club. That my best friend, she a real bad b-. Got her own money, she don't need no n- on the dance floor.
That's my best friend.
Gina be coming with it, yo.
Yo, the tracks every week.
I made sure I found a clean version.
Yes.
Because I definitely wanted some woman power in this morning.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that was Best Friend by Saweetie and Doja Cat featuring Doja Cat. Mm-hmm. And guys, today, this week's affirmation is really simple.
Okay.
I am a woman. Hear me roar.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
I like that. I could say that too.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. We all have feminine and masculine energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I am woman. Hear me roar.
Amen. I am woman. Hear me roar.
I like that.
And so I said that this week's been has been a lot going on. And part of that was me being directed to Queen Afua's interview us on The Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right. And talking about women empowerment and talking about healing ourselves. Right?
Right.
And so this week's fun goal is very intentional, right? So this week's goal is to be intentionally feed your soul this week.
Mm-hmm.
Boost your chakras. Meditate.
Mm-hmm.
Take a moment of quiet with your thoughts. Take a light bath.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you guys who don't know, people who wouldn't know what chakras are, because
yes,
some people are not in tune with that part of themselves yet.
Good, yeah.
Could you please explain what chakras are?
Mm. Chakras are your inner energies, right?
Okay. How many chakras do you have?
Ma'am, I am not a Reiki.
Okay, because there's like a few. I'm just saying.
What,
I
seven?
Don't,
no,
yes,
I
exactly.
All,
it is seven.
Face,
you are correct.
Right?
Yeah. I thought you knew.
I know the
like,
colors.
No.
I know the colors.
It's seven. There are seven chakras.
It's your root, your chakra. The yellow one, I always, what's that again?
It's your stomach, your solar plexus.
Solar plexus,
right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Then your heart,
right?
your communication in your throat.
Right. Yeah.
Then your third eye, which is your indigo.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then you have your crown, which is the purple. I mean, I know them.
You know them.
Okay, so you
know
them.
But I don't want to pretend that I'm like into that, because I actually have a Reiki session today.
Oh, okay. Ooh, let us know how that goes.
Yeah, I will. Tune in next week. I'm already doing my intentional feeding of my soul starting today,
and I'm sharing the image that I have that represents all the chakras on
nice.
That page right now.
Thank you, appreciate
nice.
You, cool. Appreciate you.
All right.
So to that point, I wanted to play just a little excerpt of the interview that Queen Afua had done on The Breakfast Club, because she speaks about The Sacred Woman, her book that I ordered and is on the way, and I think it's very in line with what we're we're talking about women empowerment.
Amen.
All right, let's ring that in. Is she on right now? Is this what's happening?
Oh. I'm hearing it very low. Oh. You turned down the music on. You turned the volume on.
Yes.
Reel it up.
My base is a whole civilization. When women were revered, women were not abused, they were not raped, there was no incest. Women were lifted up based on the 42 laws. The 42 laws of power really came out of the 42 laws of my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the balance. And when we get our balance, it's not just physical balance, it's emotional balance. It's mental balance. That's why holistic health is so big, because we're looking for the balance. Mm. We're looking for my eye. We're looking for the harmony. And so my eye also deals with our relationships. What do we feel about our mothers and our fathers is very important. Mm. We have to heal that up.
Great.
And don't wait for your parents to heal it up. You have to heal it up as the child, as the adult, by being forgiving. Because I'm going to tell you, they did everything they could do with what they had to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And every parent is going to come together. The parents come together. Like, I'm with the mothers. And I tell them, I said, listen, if you can forgive your mother, then when you have children, they will forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you swear, like, I done did everything. I got you to private school, and I made sure you had food and clothes and shelter. You get the whole list. And they say, you know what they say? But that thing that was so important to me, you did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're broken and they're mad at you, and now they're screwing everything. But that means you got to go back to your back, seven generations back to go forward. You got to go back to your mother and father and just say thank you. Just a simple thing.
Right. Mm.
Thank you. Mm. That begins to heal your heart, because a broken heart is an aneurysm. A broken heart is a stroke. A broken heart is depression.
Mm.
So when you can begin to repair that heart, and then repair the family by doing that, then the family's future is brighter as that balance comes in.
Mm.
Part of the balance is the tongue. On the top of the scale is the tongue. You can destroy somebody with what you say.
Mm.
Social media, I got to put a prayer on it. When you talk to each other, don't talk to kill each other.
Right.
Talk to heal each other.
Mm-hmm.
Have compassion. Mm. Have forgiveness. Have mercy. See, you're not just destroying one person that you attack. You're destroying their whole bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they build up, we have a hard enough time becoming entrepreneurs, making our own money, building up our banks. When we need money, we got to come to each other. But if you destroyed everything through your words, you have no one to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hurt your brother or your sister, you're actually hurting yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when we look at my aunt is about that balance.
We're going to church
Queen
today.
Queen Afua is the business. Ooh. I have her Sacred Woman book, and woo, it changes your life.
Listen, I don't know. Like, you know, the universe is in tune, and it just seems like everything's coming out at the right time. And that hit me. And, like, it just hearing it again this morning, just, you know, it's very emotional. And we don't realize that our past, as she mentioned, in terms of to heal yourself, you have to forgive.
Right.
So the past transgressions, that goes into your DNA and that gets passed on.
True.
So we have to be very careful about what we do on that. And again, forgiveness is for yourself. Forgiveness isn't
not
for
the other person.
Mm.
That's right.
So we always have to remember that.
That's right.
So with that, let me bring in our intro here, if I do it properly.
I'm going to sing it. Black Kemet gods, black Egyptian gods, summoned from heaven, blessed, dressed in only go yard, homie, go hard. Oh, but you could sing that part.
Okay, folks.
Okay.
So listen. Good morning, everyone. I am very, very proud to announce our guest this morning. Today we have Svetlana Chernienko, mental health and domestic abuse advocate, Global News Montreal contributor, LGBTQ+ ally, and a change maker. Welcome, Svetlana.
Welcome.
Woo-hoo.
Can you hear us? Oh, there
good
we go.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Grand rising queen. Thank you for being here.
Svetlana, we
it's
have...
It's my pleasure.
Yes, we have so much to talk about. I know you're into so many different things, but why don't you go ahead and tell the people who you are, aside from what I just said.
Well, I'm a mother. I've done a lot of advocacy with body positivity because I believe that, you know, mental health goes with body positivity. And because of what I went through with domestic abuse and being a survivor of domestic abuse and all the, you know, the insecurities that I went through, I really wanted to channel that and show women, you know, how they can feel good about themselves. So I do a lot of things because I want to be able to make changes you know, in the world, do my part. I want to be able to do my part in the community, my part to help people. I want to use my platform on social media to be able to make the difference in the community that I want to see.
Absolutely. And obviously, unfortunately, this is fortunately, unfortunately, because I think it's something that we have to talk about, because it's something that we haven't been talking about the way we should have been. But in speaking as a someone who went through domestic abuse, can you talk to me a bit about those mental blockers that abused women face that holds them back from leaving their situation?
Well, I always say at the beginning of an abusive relationship, it's always psychological warfare. There, you know, the abuser always finds the things that make a woman feel insecure, you know, the things that he can hold on to her with, the things that he can trap her with. So it starts very small, you know. It's like the buildup starts with, oh, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you're incredible. So now you think, oh my God, I'm with the most amazing man. And then it slowly starts to decline. There's little things that start to happen that start, you know, you'll see the flags. The flags are always there. So, 'cause that's something that people always ask me, are the flags there? They are always there. It's just that, you know, the good of those times at the beginning, the honeymoon phase, it outweighs the bad at those particular moments. So it literally starts with that, layering it. And then when the abuse starts, you're already now finding justification of why you want to stay with this person. Because now you have moments that you have insecurity. There's moments that you have doubt in yourself, who you are, your capabilities, because little by little, within all the good that partner said to you, there's a lot of bad that he inserted and continued to put into your mind. So it creates that, oh, well, okay, well, I guess he's right because he loves me. He shows me love on the other hand of things. And that's how women get sucked in to stay.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of misconception, because I think a lot of people on the outside looking in, they feel like these women aren't strong women, and they all have daddy issues. And whether that's the case or not, like I said before, whether you know it or not, there, you know, somebody who's suffered from it. And I've known strong women who have suffered from it too.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree with you.
And so how do you break those chains? Right. As a woman, how did you get out of it, what advice can you give from that perspective?
Well, my situation got to an extreme before I left, because when it came to my friends, and this is something that I always want to stress to any of your listeners and all of your listeners, I should say, I haven't had enough coffee, excuse me, but to all of your listeners, is that it's where the shame comes. We've all done it. You know, I've been guilty of it myself, where I had to catch myself. You're like, Lana, you can do better than this. Where, you know, we see our girlfriend is going through something. We have that gut feeling, that instinct that tells us this guy is just doing something to her. You know, like, we feel it. And then we're like, oh my, you know better. You should leave him. You're so smart. Or we'll do the polar opposite, because that was what happened to me. Well, you're not a stupid girl. Why are you behaving that way? Why are you behaving so foolish? Mm-hmm. You know, you need to leave. And this is something that I bring up because, like, when we talk about this, there's certain things in the demeanor depending on your culture. Like, I'm half African, I'm half Nigerian, half Russian. So it depends who you're dealing with, because I've had aunties, you know, turn around and say one thing on one side of the family. And believe it or not, on the Russian side, too, it's supposed to be like, you're not supposed to talk about this. So when there's so much shame, you know, and oh my, and you know it, because I can tell you that I knew that I was in a bad situation. But every time I reached out for help, I kept getting like almost like that slap in the hand that you should know better, you should leave. So I was being punished on the outside as well. And I was like, my God, so I can't really go anywhere. I have to figure this out on myself. And it literally took me being abducted, going through that part of my abuse, for me to really wake up, because the reality hit that he could have really hurt my son. My son could not be, like, he's here now, thank goodness he is, but it could have been so much worse. And, you know, I that's why I use my voice, because I'm a survivor and I want to be able to make that change.
And you're very important in that movement, because it's nothing new. I think we're more vocal about it now because we're given that space. But this has been going on. This is things that we see that are in this generation. It's generational, ultimately speaking. Yeah. And to your point, it's easy. And I use that word lightly, but it's easy for you to tell your friend or your loved one, just get out. But if you're going to say that, if you're going to fix yourself to say that, be sure that you're there to help them get out too. Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
Because that's too easy. So you have something planned, and we alluded to it a little earlier on today. But what's in the works for you that you have going on?
Oh well, yeah. First of all, we have the amazing march that's happening. I was asked by the Rebecca Harry family to come in on board to be a spokesperson for the family because I'm a domestic abuse survivor and I'm an advocate. And they asked me to lead the march. And it has been my absolute honor to be with that family to help them and everything that they're going through. Because let me tell you something. I just want to take a moment to tell you about Rebecca Love Harry's family. They are absolutely incredible. They are so loving. They are so close. And being around them was my reality of what could have been, you know, because it could have been my reality. When I look at her mother, it was just so surreal because her mother and my mother almost looked the same.
Wow.
And I said, you know what? These things don't happen by accident. I am such a firm believer in spirituality. I'm a very spiritual person. I believe in God very much. So I always hold him close in my heart. And I believe that's who got me through my abuse. I know that I'm here for a purpose, and I know that I'm doing a lot of God's work in what I'm doing right now. Because I'll tell you right now, the day that Rebecca Love Harry died was the day of my father's birthday. And because he passed away in 2014, every time his birthday comes around, you know what, when you lose somebody, especially when you lose a parent, you feel it. And I just felt like that was another, he always gives me messages, and I just believe it was just a message that, you know, I needed to be there and do something. Because I reached out to two people that I knew that knew the family. And I just said, listen, I want to be there in any way. And I left it alone. And I put it out in the universe. And then I was approached. So we are doing the march on April 3rd. I will be leading the march. And I'm so honored to do that because I want to represent that family, do them justice, and be